Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. New episode posted every Monday for your listening and binging pleasure. And don't forget to go to the landing page at WGNplus.com. Entertainment section. Hit the prompt for Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And you will see the previous 105 episodes. Because this is episode 106. 106. And I think today that I'm actually recording this may be the 2-year anniversary of when I first started the podcast. I believe that's the case. I think, it's got to be, right? If I've got 100 episodes, 52 weeks, that makes sense. But I was around May. So hopefully you have been listening since the beginning. But if not, it doesn't matter. Because I said, they're all there. And we are always looking forward. But it's always fun to look back as well. So thank you for clicking on and listening. Your loyalty and your attention is always appreciated. It's always nice to get reaction to people send a reaction on my Facebook page, because I do post a link every week on my Facebook page, and so it's very nice. I really do appreciate it, and it makes it worth putting all this together and doing this on a weekly basis, so thank you very much for that. Now, that's the nice part. That's the nice part of the podcast this week, because I've got something to rant about, and I think from the response I get, people like my rants, so strap in, folks. So I have noticed something in the last several weeks, and it's nothing particularly new, but it just seems to be getting to a new level. And when it gets to that new level, that's when it's time to say enough is enough, or at least to point it out so that maybe you will begin to notice it and be as head-shaking as I am. So a couple of weeks ago, the Kentucky Derby took place. The most exciting 2 minutes in sports as it's billed. And it's got all this history. And I'm not a big gambler at all. Over the last several years, I've been going to Las Vegas quite a bit because I've been seeing Elton John perform there during his residency. In fact, if you looked at my Facebook page over the last couple of weeks, you'll have seen that in mid-May, I was in Vegas for 3 days, which is a long time to be in Vegas, unless you are a crazy gambler. But for the casual fan of Las Vegas, 3 days is a lot. A lot of neon, a lot going on, a lot of noise, a lot of people. And I just, this my little aside of what I observed of Las Vegas when I just went there. A couple of weeks ago in mid-May, there's a different crowd now. Vegas has been trying to reinvent itself many times over the last 15 or 20 years as culture and behavior and trends have changed. And Vegas was, developed back in the older era And that's when people used to get dressed up in tuxedos to go out at night. And there was a whole different perspective on entertainment. It was a big deal. And people carried themselves differently, you know, in public. And today things are much, much more casual. And as I said, Vegas has tried several times to rebrand itself. At the end of the day, Vegas is Vegas, and the most effective tagline that they've ever come up with is the one they keep using, they go away from, but they always come back to it, is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's called Sin City for a reason, right? Several years ago, 15, 20 years ago, they tried to make it the family place to go, and they had roller coasters and amusement parks and water rides, and they were trying to attract the families. And while it worked for a while, at the end of the day, let's face it, Vegas is about gambling. Vegas is about vice. Legal vice. Not idle vice. No, legal vice. And some of those vices may be objectionable to some people. Morally, legally, whatever it is, but that's where, as I said, the name Sin City comes from. And but it's interesting now, the latest craze, as they are off on another kind of marketing appeal, it seems, to get the millennials, because that's the group right now. They've got the attention of the media, they've got the numbers in terms of a generation, and you know, they're out there spending their money. That's what keeps the economy going. But I've really noticed something in Vegas lately. It's as I said, over the last 20, 30 years, Vegas has steadily gotten more casual. But at Caesar's Palace, which has been around from almost the beginning, it really is a defining place in Vegas. It sort of combines the old Vegas with the new Vegas. Evil Knievel jumped over the Caesar's Palace fountains back in the 60s, which now you can, looks like, who cares? You can spit over them with a good wind. But you know, but Caesar's Palace is one of those defining Vegas hotels. The biggest stars played there. The restaurants, just the whole mood. It's very lavishly and even over the top in its design, in its theme. You know, the Roman thing. There's the excesses of Rome. Rome at its height. That's what it seems. That's what it always wants to project, the riches of society. Society at its most fun and its most decadent. And that's what Vegas is. It's this little playground for adults. And but it's really interesting when you see it now to appeal to those people who are going there. It is not the tuxedoed kind of, you know, sophisticate anymore. It is really the middle America, laid back, casual part of society that is dominating Vegas right now. Certainly there are some pockets here and there. There's always a big influx of Europeans who come to Vegas, who enjoy the, once again, the that's what America is to them. Capitalism at its finest. But when you look at the average person in Vegas, when you just walk down the streets of Vegas, you walk down the strip, you will notice it looks very mid-America. I was shocked. As I said, Caesar's Palace, reputation of being you know, an upper-level kind of elite place. And in this one public area, right near an outdoor bar and on its way near an exit and entrance to the actual hotel and casino, much to my surprise, you know the game, the name, you know the game bags, cornhole, whatever you want to call it, where you throw the, you have the two you know, things with the hole there, and you have the bean bags, and you toss them in bags. They had bags. They had three sets of bags for people to play at their leisure. There's a bar right there. You're walking around. It's outside. And I was like, wow, that to me was a major move toward catering to a certain demographic and a certain type of person who would want to play bags when they're out in Vegas. And walking around, wow, people have really become casual. They've really dressed down. We really dressed down as a society, and no matter what time of the day, whether it's at 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 8 in the evening, or midnight, we really, really dress down. Like I said, Vegas used to be a place where you would dress up, but you are now seeing dressing down, and you know, people are walking around with drinks in their hand, those big, long, ridiculously long glasses with the extended straw with Mai Tais, and people are walking around with beers in their hand. And at one point, I was just observing all this because I'm not a gambler, so I'm not sitting in the casinos all day, you know, throwing money into one-armed bandits, which they're not even one-armed bandits anymore. That's lost to the appeal for me, too. If I'm going to play a slot machine, yeah, I'm old school. I want the arm. It's a one-armed bandit for a reason. Now you go to play a slot machine, from what I observe, and you're just pushing buttons. How boring. And wow, have these slot machines become elaborate with all the technology and the screens and the visuals. Not like the old days, not the dunk, 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 dunk. Now it's bree, 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 bree. It's all you hear in those casinos. But come on, slot machine's supposed to have an arm. One-armed bandits. But anyways, I said, I'm not there. I'm not playing the slots. I'm not at the blackjack tables. I'm kind of observing it all. And I really observed, well, at least I saw this at this point. I don't know if it's like this all the time now. But it just looked like one big barbecue, like a big picnic. You got the bags there, people playing bags. You got people dressed in shorts and sandals and T-shirts and, you know, just baseball caps. And from what I can tell, this is, if Vegas is any indication, the summer of 2018, apparently for women, is going to be the summer of the cutoff jean shorts. For many years, the cutoff jean shorts were not in at all. But in Vegas, a couple of weeks ago, that's all I saw young women wearing, were cutoff jean shorts. And an added bonus, depending on how you view it, those shorts are cut way too short. Wow. Holy smokes. Yeah, so it's the inappropriately short jean shorts that apparently, at least in Vegas, and this is not being worn by, exotic dancers or anyone. These are just civilians. But that seems to be, that's what's going to be walking around the streets of the summer. We'll see how it is here in Chicago and everywhere else in the country, but certainly in Vegas, the way too short cut-off jean shorts. But it looked like just one big picnic. People playing bags, people walking around with their cargo shorts and their sandals. Very, very casual. Wow. It's not the Vegas of Bugsy Siegel and Frank Sinatra anymore. That's for damn sure. Wow. But anyway, so I'm watching the Kentucky Derby. And as I said, I'm not a big gambler. So when I watch the Kentucky Derby, and I go to the racetrack every so often, I really enjoy horses. I love to watch horses. I love to be around horses. I like horseback riding. I'm not a big horse enthusiast. I don't own a horse. I don't go to a stable every week. Far from it. I wish I did, though. I really love being around horses. And when I go on vacations, if there is some kind of a horseback riding stable somewhere near where I'm at, I will go. I really enjoy being around them. And when I go to a racetrack here in the Chicago area, obviously one of the best in the world is Arlington Park Racetrack. And I've been going there for years since I was a little kid. My dad used to love to bet the ponies. And so he took me to Arlington at a very young age. And I really came to enjoy watching the races and the horses. They're just they just seemed like such majestic animals, and yet they look like they really are creating some kind of a bond or a friendship with those who ride them or those that take care of them. Just really love horses. So I watch the Kentucky Derby every year and the Triple Crown. I don't bet it. And when I go to Arlington, I go with a group of friends and, you know, not just guys, but, you know, couples and everything. And everybody's shocked. Why aren't you betting? Why aren't you betting? I really just enjoy the sport. I just enjoy the races. I enjoy going to the paddock and watching the horses walk around. And the betting part to me, I'm not a big gambler. So, you know, I just go for the aesthetic of it. And a beautiful day out at the track and watching the horses run. I'll certainly pick one and say I'm going to choose that one. And a lot of times I do win, but sometimes I don't. So I go home with more money in my pocket than I left with. So that's always good. But I always watch the Kentucky Derby. And there's something that's been bothering me over the last several years. The Kentucky Derby now has become, as many big events have of ours, especially the ones that are broadcast on television. This is my point. Seems like broadcast television is really going down in its standards and what it's offering us, especially news and reporting and the coverage of big events in an effort to be cool and to stay hip and to be on the scene and trending and and being all to everybody and being on what is supposedly the cutting edge, the coverage of some of these events have really gone over the top. The Kentucky Derby over the last several years has sadly turned into a fashion and culture event more than a sporting event. And you've seen the Academy Awards, that's happened to it. The red carpet has really surpassed the Academy Awards event. Few people, when you watch the coverage of the Academy Awards, it starts with a 5-hour red carpet in the afternoon, and everybody's just talking about who's wearing what, who's coming with who. It's gossip, it's fashion, and the whole point of it, the movies, the nominees, secondary. And that's the way it is now, and that is the coverage. And we see the reporters now, and I put that in quotes, because the reporters are part of the story now. Some of the women reporters who are talking and interviewing the celebrities on the red carpet at the Oscars, for instance, they are talking about what dresses they are wearing. And some of them are dressed better than some of the celebrities. And many of these reporters who are supposed to be objective, not subjective, they're there to report the story, not be the story. They have designer gowns that rival the celebrities who they're covering. They have become the story. And they have become chummy with the report, with the celebrities. Oh, hi, George. Oh, hi, whoever. First name basis. Now, look, I know that's, you know, it's not a serious story. It's not a serious event. It's not a war. It's not a congressional hearing. I understand that. It's light and fun. But shouldn't the reporters still be reporting the story? Shouldn't the story be important? But in today's world, it's all about me. And so the reporters are now, at least in their mind, and this is the way it's being accepted by both their bosses who hire them, their producers who put them on, and the audience. They're accepting this. Well, everybody's just a part of it. It's one big party. But, you know, the whole idea of broadcasting and the rules used to be that, and especially reporting, if you are a reporter, you're supposed to report on the event, not become a part of it. But that seems to have gone out the window. And so we've seen this already happening, but now we're seeing it creeping into other events. So here's the Kentucky Derby. It's always been an event. It's a sporting event. But now, in the last 5 years especially, NBC, which broadcasts it, has a 4 or 5 hour coverage. Now, don't forget, the race itself, it's billed as the most exciting 2 minutes in sport. 5 hours of coverage before those 2 minutes. Seems a little excessive. And so, of course, what happens? How am I going to fill 5 hours or 4 hours for an event that really takes 2 minutes? Lots of filler. And, of course, expanding it to include fashion, gossip, food. It's almost like a Today Show around this sporting event. And once again, I'm watching this and I'm saying, what about the race? What horses are in it? Who's going to win? There's very little about that, but there sure is Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir talking about fashion. Now, these are people that would never have never even been interested or even known that a Kentucky Derby exists. But now suddenly, our culture has said, oh, well, fashion is everywhere. We have to talk about fashion in every aspect. We have to have a red carpet. We have to have gossip. And so suddenly Johnny Weir, the two skaters, he and Tara Lipinski, for some reason now are fixtures at the Kentucky Derby. And they're talking about fashion, and of course, throughout this 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour coverage, we're seeing all these women with the giant hats, and we're seeing guys now wearing all the crazy multicolored jackets and bow ties, and everybody's just look at me. Wow, have we become a look at me society? But the sports fan in me says, what about the Derby? You know, Johnny Weir is wearing these headpieces that are off the charts. And that's all we're talking about. And of course, you know, he's making a mint julep with Tara Lipinski. And then they've got somebody else, cooking segments. And it's like, you know, what happened to, here's the race. The race usually used to start at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. The coverage would start at about 4 o'clock. It was an hour and it was done. You talked about the race, but now we have to have fashionistas and celebrity chefs and celebrities saying, riders, get on your horses. That's a new thing that celebrities say that. Riders up. If the Derby isn't bad enough, as we know, we had a royal wedding a couple of weeks ago. There is some semblance of sport involved in the coverage of the Kentucky Derby, regardless of all this ancillary stuff that is really just fluff. And once again, I understand this is a fun event, but gosh, does it have to just be so over the top now? Like I said, like we're watching a Today Show? We don't need Kelly and Ryan Seacrest at the Kentucky Derby. They don't belong there. I would love to, my dad, you know, if he was still alive, I'd love to see what he thought of this coverage. All those broken down horse players who are spinning in their graves going, What about the race? What about the horses? What about the horses? What about the race? It's the most non-significant thing in the coverage. So now, of course, thanks to my insomnia, I'm up at 4:30, 5 o'clock anyway. So I click on the royal wedding. Now, once again, the wedding itself was starting around 6 o'clock a.m. our time. 3 hours of coverage before that event. Every cable network, every regular network. I had to laugh. Once again, I know this is not a war. It's a wedding. It's a romantic thing. It's of interest. I get it. But does it have to be so fluffy? Does it have to be so lightweight that it's actually levitating and floating away? Because my gosh, was the reporting, and I put that in quotes, over the top on this royal wedding. The hosts of the coverage, male and female, were like giddy schoolgirls watching this and reporting on it. The graphics, 20 minutes until Meghan departs, the 20 minutes until the first reveal of the wedding dress. There was a countdown. The graphics, coming soon. First reveal of wedding dress, coming soon. Don't turn your station. Harry will be arriving. Queen arriving in 10 minutes. Prince Charles arriving in 10 minutes. First glimpse of Meghan. Then, of course, when she pulled out of the hotel she was staying in, she was already in the car, so they got trumped on that, no pun intended. And but the coverage was, the camera was peering into the car, and then all of a sudden there was great excitement. Oh my gosh, she's wearing a veil. She's wearing a veil. Oh, you would have thought that someone landed on the moon. She's in a wedding dress. She's getting married. Of course she's wearing a veil. Oh my God, she's got a tiara on. Oh, she's got a tiara. Oh my God, it's one of the queen's tiaras. Oh, she's got a veil. Who's the designer? Who designed the dress? Oh, I don't know. It's not Stella McCartney. Oh, it's not. Oh my gosh. If there was only this much interest in any other thing with this kind of passion and this kind of coverage on serious matters that affect us. But my gosh, and as I said, I understand. It's light. It's fun. But shouldn't there be a certain amount of professionalism from those covering it? Do they have to become a part of it? Gail King on CBS. I mean, I thought she was going to faint. She said, oh my gosh, my most favorite part of the wedding is when he lifted the veil off of her. But what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to lift the veil off. He's got to kiss her. What's so romantic about that? What's so crazy? How is that such an amazing moment? It has to be done. He's got to lift the veil up. Oh my God, Al Roker on NBC. There's a point where most of the network people were stationed. I must have been up on scaffolds by what they call the long walk leading up to Windsor Castle. And I've been there. It's really cool. It's this long 1 mile or 2 mile stretch from the street all the way to the castle. It's just this one long sidewalk. I'm sure you saw it if you saw the wedding. Well, they must have all been seated up there. Well, they come by in their open carriage. And apparently, Al Roker caught Meghan and Harry's attention. And Meghan, obviously from the United States, grew up here, probably watched, the Today Show. She's probably on the Today Show when she was an actress. Knows who Al Roker was. They waved at Al Roker. Oh my gosh, Al Roker was like a 14-year-old girl who just saw Justin Bieber for the first time. He was gushing, as I said, like a giddy schoolgirl. Oh my God, they waved at me. They waved at me. And then apparently they must have waved at Anderson Cooper. He got all flustered. He started mumbling and tripping over his lines because they went past him, and I guess he waved and they waved at him, or at least he thought they did. Reminds me of when I'm an Elton John concert and I think that Elton has saw me, has seen me. But oh my gosh, on television, these reporters who I would think are supposed to be professional, you could be enthusiastic, you could be passionate, but you also should be professional. And my gosh, it was hard for me to watch the event because they were fawning and gushing and being a part of it. Once again, Gail King had this. Now, I understand, she's Oprah's big friend. Oprah was at the wedding. But Gail King had her giant hat on, and she was like, she was there. Like, she was invited. And for all you know, she was probably at the reception. But my gosh, was she just gushing and fawning, and you would have thought that this was her daughter getting married. And I'm just wondering, is this where we're going now with broadcasting? I understand now. Everybody is a broadcaster. Everybody with a phone, everybody with a camera on their computer is a host. Is a podcaster, yes. But my gosh, have the standard. I would love to go back, and I'm going to try to go on YouTube. I wonder if it's up there. I would love to go back and see when Charles and Diana got married in the early 80s. I'd love to see the coverage, the full coverage of what that was like back 30 some years ago. On network television. Don't forget, back then there was no CNN. There wasn't any 24-hour. It was only the major networks. I don't know if Walter Cronkite, for instance, was doing it for CBS. I'm not sure who it was, but I want to go back and look, because I doubt that there was such fawning. There was such over-the-top emotions. And looking at the reporters being a part of the story and almost being the story. And so much hype. I think the genie's out of the bottle, unfortunately. But between the Kentucky Derby and the Johnny Weirs and the Tara Lipinski's and just the race being secondary, and now the wedding, the way it was covered, just so over the top with supposedly professional people like Anderson Cooper just getting all giddy and just, oh, they yelled, they waved at me. Oh, there was a time when reporting was reporting and the story was the story and the reporter was not the story. And that's when we got some real reporting, and that's when you got some real information and some real memories of what the story was. I shouldn't know this much. And this is my point. I shouldn't know this much about what Gail King said and what Al Roker said and what Anderson Cooper said and how they reacted to this. Why do I know this? Because that's what was being thrown at me, as opposed to the actual event. So I guess that's the new norm now, because as I said, everybody's a host. Everybody does this. Everybody's got their own YouTube channel. So A, the standards of broadcasting have gone way down. What we accept as good is certainly not what it used to be in terms of reporting. And now, as I said, between the Oscar red carpets, the reporters are dressed better than the celebrities. The Kentucky Derby, way too much hype, way too much fashion, way too much food. What about the race? And then this royal wedding. My gosh, I understand it's romantic. I understand it. But there's a point as a reporter where you're supposed to take a step back and let the story unfold. That's the first rule, folks. The story is the story. The reporter is not the story. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And now we go to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, I don't know if you heard any of my rant.
Yeah, you've got a bee in your bonnet.
Well, and you know who else had a bee?
Or should I say you've got a bee in your fascinator?
Well, you know who else had a bonnet? Gail King. I'm surprised Anderson Cooper wasn't wearing one. And Al Roker.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right. I mean, I understand it's a wedding. I get it. It's fun. It's fluffy. It's romantic. It's fairy tales. But, oh, my gosh. Al Roker, Meghan waved at him, and you would have thought that he was a 14-year-old schoolgirl. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, the irony of that, I know what you mean. And the irony of that, I was thinking when I didn't watch it like live, but I did record it and I watched some of it with the kids. Oh, of course, on the DVR. Like, I have to watch everything. I'll finish it. Like, I still haven't finished it. I'll finish it in a couple of years.
Yeah, just believe me.
But anyway.
You didn't miss anything.
But I totally thought when I saw Al Roker trying to get, you know, her attention or whatever, I thought to myself, the irony of this is that probably, we'll say a year-ish ago, maybe a little over a year ago, I bet Meghan Markle's publicist would have struggled to get her, like, an interview on the Today Show.
Exactly!
You know what I mean?
She was a bee!
If the whole cast of Suits were going to be on, that maybe she would have been on. But, like, that is the sheer irony of Al Roker jumping up the ground trying to get her attention on the side of the road, you know?
She was a B, if not C, actress on a show on the USA Network. Who watches Suits? You would think Suits was 60 Minutes, or it was Frasier, or it was Will and Grace, or Roseanne. Nobody watched Suits.
Well, no. I mean, nobody did before. People probably aren't watching the old episodes of it now.
Oh, but my gosh. Al went nuts. Like I said, Gail said, my favorite moment was when he lifted her veil. He's got to lift her veil.
I did like that, though.
I know, but it wasn't. There wasn't a chivalry. This wasn't romantic. He had to. How is he going to kiss her? If you would have said, "My gosh," what I thought was amazing is when he picked her up and carried her down the aisle. Now there's some romance. If he would have done that, I would have said, "Wow, good job." But lifting the veil, that's part and parcel of the wedding.
People got a little swept away by the fairy tale.
I know. Well, this is my point. That was my point.
Caught up in the magic.
And as I've said, I don't know if you heard earlier, but I was talking about the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if you watched the Kentucky Derby at all, but now that's like the Academy Awards. 5 hours of coverage for 2 minutes. The race is two minutes long.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that.
Well, I'm just saying, we have Johnny Weir now. He's wearing like Cher-like headdresses that are ridiculous.
Where was he at? The Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah. He's on every year now. He's a fashion consultant. Him and Tara.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Him and Tara Lipinski. They're talking about fashion.
What do they know about?
Nothing. They're fashionistas. This is my point. They're talking about, they're doing cooking segments. It's like a Today Show at the Kentucky Derby.
What? So they're like, here's how you make a mint julep.
Yes. And here's how you make a Kentucky fried chicken.
Oh.
I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
With fascinators on.
Yeah. So, anywho. So, in the pop culture world, big doings, because the last couple of weeks, the TV networks announced their renewals and their cancellations for television shows. And there were a few surprises.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time of year, so, and they have to start thinking about their fall schedules, right?
Now, I have a question before we talk about the shows that got canceled. I don't know how much you read about, they call them the upfronts, which is when the networks announce their new fall schedules to the advertisers. They do this in New York, they space it out, it's about a 2 or 3 week kind of thing, and every network has a, now it used to be just a press release. Now, of course, once again, in today's world,
it's a whole thing.
Another red carpet. Johnny Weir has to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure, talking about the fashion at the upfronts. but I was looking at some of the new shows. I don't think I'm going to watch any new shows.
No.
I don't know. Did anything grab your attention?
I mean, not really, but I wasn't paying as much attention to what's coming up as to what is getting booted in favor of the stuff that's coming up. So
yeah, well, I think what's
like, yeah,
yeah. So there was a few that of the shows that got canceled, none of them surprised me. Many of them were shows that I initially, some of them were shows that I initially did watch and I bailed on at least a year or two ago. So in my mind, these shows have been on way too long to begin with.
Oh, some of them. But yeah, so to your question, well, there were a couple of surprises for me, and I'm not happy about them. So
which ones are you not happy about?
One of them, okay, well, I'm not happy about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Because although I kind of took a little bit of a break, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite here because I think that show is really funny and it's got a great cast, you know, and it's a genuinely good show. It's
right, with Andy Sandberg
and Joe Lotrulio, who used to be on The State, which I don't know if you remember that was also a really funny sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
Harry Cruz, Chelsea Peretti, who's a really, really funny stand-up comedian. Andre Brower. It's a great cast. I was surprised to hear they were being canceled. That said, I did take a break from them, so I'm part of the problem. I get it.
I did too. I watched it for a couple of seasons, and then it started to get a little too goofy, and I just said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. Yes. And you think, it'll always be there. You can always watch it on demand if you want to. So, but they were canceled. That was a surprise by Fox. But now they are being saved by NBC. And so that's good news. But I was a little bit surprised by the initial cancellation.
Well, here's the thing, though. And this has happened every so often. Shows get canceled, and then there is a reprieve either by another network, like you said here, NBC, or some cases, like last year, NBC canceled a show called Timeless that starred Abigail Spencer, who was at the royal wedding.
Yes. Wait a second. There were two people at the royal wedding who basically got canceled right before they showed up in England. So Abigail Spencer, who you mentioned, is on Timeless.
Right.
Which I think is actually technically on the bubble. I haven't heard yet.
No, I haven't heard yet.
We can talk about that. But then also, I think her name is Priyanka Chopra. Is that her name? She is the star of Quantico, and that has been canceled.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so
they had a bad week and also a good week, because they got canceled, but then they were at the event of
Timeless got canceled, and then there was this big uproar, which I put in quotes big. Of some fans who started some web pages and all that stuff. And then after about a week or so last year, NBC decided to switch its decision and renewed it for only 13 episodes, not a full season. It came on in the spring this year. And as you said, so it came back, so it made big news that it was canceled. And then it was renewed, but then it came back very quietly in the spring. And as you said, now it's on the bubble. Most likely it will get canceled because at the end of the day, nobody except for 7 people with a computer was watching it. It was canceled for a reason.
But then it has to be said, though, that 2 of those 7 people happen to be Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well,
and Kelly Clarkson, and so they have been publicly campaigning for the show.
I know, but if you're a network, it's not, because 2 people like it, You know, one. So what happened? My point is. So here's my prediction. So Beverly. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which if you remember, it's first season.
But also, you, this is funny. I never knew this existed until I was looking at this list. But the other thing about Timeless is apparently USA Today does an annual Save Our Shows poll, and Timeless has won that 2 years in a row. So it won it last year, and then as you said,
okay. And where are the ratings? Then where are the viewers?
I know. It's one of those shows where they have a very dedicated fan base. There's not a huge fan base.
But the problem is, it's Greasy Wheel gets the oil.
Right.
These shows were over a long period of time. Are not getting ratings. No one's watching them. They get canceled, and then this small pocket of loyal people take to social media and create a furor, and then a year later they're gone. This happened 30 years ago with Taxi, one of the most popular shows on ABC for many years. It got canceled. Everybody went, oh, how could you cancel Taxi? Well, you know why? Because it wasn't as good as it was, and no one was watching it again. So NBC picked it up, and after one season, they canceled it. Here's my prediction. You know, Brooklyn 99, don't forget, won a Golden Globe its first year as best comedy. But it has, I think it's run its course. NBC picks it up. I guarantee you it will be canceled next year. I guarantee you.
Okay. Well, now this is on record. So, you know, next spring we'll be back.
And then how about this?
But you're probably right.
And then how about, so my point is, I understand, I mean, it's great that there is all this, you know, fan stuff like that. But at the end of the day, most of these canceled shows. And then Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James gets canceled. And what I love now is, for some reason, once a quote-unquote popular show, or at least a high-profile show with a big star like Kevin James, who, you know, had King of Queens, Netflix automatically is supposed to save it.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, Kevin Can Wait. I mean, it is interesting because obviously King of Queens is a very popular show, which he starred on. And then with this show, they even killed off his wife to bring Remini on the show.
To basically make it King of Queens again.
A little bit of a boost.
Yeah, but no,
it didn't survive.
No. But my point is,
I don't think anyone's really talking about saving that one.
No, but what I think is interesting now is
the other one.
Every show, though, is supposed after if it has some high profile stars, all of a sudden, like, you know, because the Mindy Project got picked up by Hulu for a couple of years after it was canceled for Fox. So now, as soon as a high profile show gets canceled,
Mindy Kaling, but the Mindy Project was a really good show. Okay. I watched that show and it was funny.
I know, and seven people watched it. never got an Emmy Award, never got a rating, never got any kind of viewership. I mean, I'm not a huge Mindy Kaling fan, but my point is, it seems like the streaming services, like, why are they the dumping ground? Like, oh, well, if it got canceled.
You're absolutely right, because they all have enough really, like, quality content, like, original content now that, well, I'll speak more for Netflix than Hulu. I think Hulu is catching up with Netflix when it comes to original content, but I think Netflix, for example, has enough solid original content.
Right.
They don't have to be saving network shows.
Exactly. And you know, that's my point. And once again, why save these shows which have proven, believe me, and the way TV networks are today, if there's a show that even has some kind of an audience, they will not get canceled. So if you get canceled, you really have no audience in today's network world, because there's a lot of shows that are getting renewed for at least one or two more seasons than they deserve. I mean, I don't know about you. One of the most top-rated shows a few years ago, and I watched it, I thought it was a great concept initially, was Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, very cool concept that this, you know, there's this this tradition that one member of Congress does not attend the State of the Union in case, because everybody in government is at that State of the Union. And so there's a bomb that goes off in the Capitol, and so this guy becomes president, and there's no government. I mean, a very interesting concept. Sadly, after the first season, it became Jack Bauer becomes president.
Right.
It was 24.
But I read, though, that actually might there's a chance that that could be saved.
Well, see, once again, but no, but once again, yeah, I stopped watching that one about a year and a half, 2 years ago, because it lost its thing. I liked The Exorcist, which is another one that got, the first season was kind of interesting. The second season completely was a totally different show. Not even, why would you bring it back? Boom. You know, got canceled.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard when the show, the plot of the show doesn't give them anywhere to really go after a season or two. And like with 24, I mean, that was a pretty specific concept, but at least like every season was a different.
Oh, no, I like 24, you know, and that lost its way.
Storyline. Eventually. I mean, eventually all these shows are going to run their course.
But my point is that basically Kiefer Sutherland was what we started playing one character when the show started, and then he turned back into Jack Bauer again.
Well, you know, everybody loves Jack Bauer. Who does not love Jack
Bauer?
Now,
did you ever watch The Last Man on Earth with on Fox?
I like Will Forte, but I didn't. Yeah, I never thought that. I just figured, okay, so there's like the apocalypse, and there's one guy left, which I know he wasn't really the only guy.
Right.
Only person, but I just figured that never appealed to me to begin with. I don't know. Did you?
No, I watched it once again for a while, and then it just got, you know. Well, the one thing that I noticed, and I think we may have talked about this before, so many of the shows today. I mean, there is such a need for content between the networks, between the cable networks like HBO and Showtime for original programming, and now of course the streaming services like Netflix, who are, you know, really, and Amazon Prime and Hulu, that are creating their own shows as well as, you know, stockpiling older ones. So there's a great demand for for content. But you know, there's some of these shows, like I said, you know, Designated Survivor, a very interesting concept, and you could see where the pitch was when they went in and pitched this show to the network. And you could see why they bought it. But what I'm seeing on so many shows today is that after that initial, you know, first season, and sometimes even after the first 7 or 8 episodes, there's nothing there anymore. The original concept has been played out, and to me the greatest example of that is Lost. Lost was a very cool concept. And then it went off into so many different directions that I don't even think the creators, when that show was created, they never expected that show to end up where it was, because it was a very cool concept. Hey, a plane crashes on a deserted island with no, you know, it was Gilligan's Island for the 90s, you know, but it was an interesting concept. I think at the end of the day, that was a 10-part miniseries.
Look, I was a loyal fan of Lost until the end, but I do agree that some of the last couple of seasons, some of the plot lines really started to jump the shark. And then in the end, like actually looking back on it, I actually can't even tell you what happened in the end.
I know. That's what I mean.
You know, like, I don't even remember anymore. Were they dead? Were they alive?
Right.
I don't even remember.
That's what I'm saying.
What was the whole point?
And there was so many cool things. I mean, do you even remember the polar bear? Like, what was the, do you remember?
Oh, of course.
No. I mean, do you remember why the polar bear was there?
Because of the comic book. I do remember that.
Oh, okay.
It existed in the mind of the little boy. But the polar bear, now that was an example of something where when the plot started to go really off piece in certain ways, or they would bring in these elements that you go like, wait, what? Why is there a polar bear on an island?
Right.
That was actually pretty genius.
No, I thought that was great.
For that, you were like, wow, this is amazing. But then it was like, once they ran out of stuff like that, that was truly clever, then it started to get a little.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm seeing with so many of these shows that are on now, is that there was an initial concept, and that's why I have to be honest with you. I really think that the networks, if they were smart, they wouldn't do these full seasons anymore of these 23 episodes. I think they'd be much better off.
It's a lot, yeah.
If they did like so many of the cable things do, where a new season is 7 or 8 episodes, it's not overkill. There's enough. There, it's short enough that, from a creative standpoint, the story arc can go from beginning to end, and it's long enough and short enough that then it's not filler for 10 episodes just to get to that 23. Because I just see so many shows. I bet you a show like, perhaps Designated Survivor, which got canceled, or some of these other ones, if they were condensed, they may have had a better shot, because they wouldn't have had to have the obligation and the stress of filling 23 shows when they basically got done with their initial concept after 8 or 9.
Well, and you're right. And the cable channels do that with their original content, but then streaming services do as well. It's usually about, like, I think a lot of the Netflix shows are maybe around 12, 13 episodes.
Right. Yeah, about 13.
The networks maybe need to start breaking it up. Breaking up the season into kind of two.
Because
they could also air more shows if they wanted to.
And I think what's happened, because so many people now watch cable shows and watch streaming shows, that once again, our viewing habits and our viewing expectations have become such that we're used to the 8 to 10 to 12 episode season. You know,
right. Our attention span is now it's lower than it used to be.
Yeah, so that wouldn't even be any kind of, like, for instance, this new season of Roseanne, which started just in March and is ending now. So I'm not sure how many episodes they had, 7 or 8 maybe. But it's going to be interesting now to see, because it got renewed for a full season. It's coming back in September as a new show. You know what I mean? As a full-blown show.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to be interesting. Everybody was riveted and everybody was excited about Roseanne. It came back in this nice little, appetizer of 7 or 8 episodes. But now will Roseanne be able to have the legs to last a 23 or 20 episode season? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, we'll see. I also noted that, it's just along the lines of the Roseanne reboot, that the Will and Grace was renewed for a season 2 as well as a season 3.
Right.
And that also, when it came back last fall, that was like an abbreviated season. I think they only did maybe like 10-ish episodes of it. That said, it was very good and very funny, and I wish that they had done more for this past season, because I was kind of, when it was clear that was it for the run, that I was kind of sad that there was like no more Will and Grace on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, so, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see. Now I wonder too, though, will those shows like Will and Grace, the reboot, or Roseanne, will they get full season orders of 23 or 22 episodes, or will they perhaps condense it and only give you 10 or 12? It'll be interesting. I'm not sure. I didn't hear exactly. I just heard that they were renewed for the fall, but I didn't hear about the actual, number of episodes. So who knows? Maybe start to see this happening.
I don't know. Some of that could. I did wonder about Will and Grace and whether it was like we're just testing the waters, or if also part of it is they can't necessarily get those cast members to commit to the old grind, 23 episodes. Because think about it. Like, I don't think anyone on Will and Grace or Roseanne really needed to come back.
No, but what's Eric McCormick doing?
Roseanne cast. Well, I know, but I think they did make enough money back in the day that, they're not like, I don't think they're necessarily.
Oh, I don't think, but,
they're probably happy to be back.
Look, I don't think they're doing this for the money.
Let's take Roseanne then. Roseanne didn't need to come back. They didn't need to come back. Obviously, we talked about how, Roseanne definitely doesn't need to.
But it's not about the money. I think these people miss being in the spotlight. It's not about the money. And Laurie Metcalf does not need the money. Roseanne does not need the money. John Goodman. Now, Becky may
Sarah
need
Gilbert,
the money.
Sarah Gilbert, she's probably the busiest of all of them on a day-to-day basis.
Becky.
She's on the talk every day.
Becky needs the money. DJ needs the money.
DJ needs the money.
Yeah. Well, he needs acting lessons, too, but that's a whole other story.
Well, he got out of acting, so I think it's actually nice of him to come back, because I think he was living a nice, quiet life.
Yeah, well.
Coaching his kids' baseball team. But
I know, but he was...
The other thing I have to tell you... that I have another bone to pick that I'm not happy about.
Uh-oh.
With the cancellation.
Yes, what is it?
So, do you ever watch The Mick?
I watched some of it. I was very surprised that they canceled that because that had...
It is so funny.
That show had a lot of buzz around it.
Yes, and I can't remember if it was on FX or Fox.
No, it was on Fox.
I think it was FX.
No, it was Fox.
It was on Fox? Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a little edgy, so I thought
yeah.
it was FX. But
yeah.
It is so funny. And I guarantee you that half the shows Fox airs in the fall, the new shows, won't be anywhere near as funny. And we'll say just any comedy that they air will not be anywhere near as funny as The Mick, but yeah, it's been canceled.
Yeah, and I was surprised because, like I said, that was one that was a newer show, so it still had some buzz to it, and it was a little edgy, and that's where Fox goes. So I was very surprised to see that one. I'm trying to think of some other ones. I was surprised to see, and not that I watched it; it wasn't that good, but given the star power in it, I was surprised to see that they canceled Superior Donuts with Judd Hirsch because CBS. If you don't notice it, CBS loves to have shows with well-established stars. That's the CBS blueprint. Les Moonves, when he took over CBS 20 years ago, if you recall, he brought back Bill Cosby for a new show, and he brought back Ted Danson for Becker. And that's what and that's how he.
And Becker was a really big hit.
Right, but my point is his viewpoint is, people watch TV shows for stars. And if you look at most of the CBS shows, there's Matt LeBlanc, there's Kevin James, there's William Peterson, there's Mark Harmon. All those CBS shows, Criminal Minds, there was Joe Montana. Now the guy on SWAT, he came from Criminal Minds. There's all these established stars. CBS, Judd Hirsch, been on TV forever. Superior Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
CBS loves to have established stars, Allison Janney on Mom. I mean, same kind of thing. You will always see that CBS goes for big established stars. So I was surprised to see. I didn't think the show was all that good, but I thought that Judd Hirsch would perhaps keep it. And for me, the biggest surprising thing was not a show that got canceled, but a show that got brought back after it was canceled 2 years ago, Last Man Standing.
Oh, yeah.
With Tim Allen. That show was canceled on ABC, was not on last year, now Fox brings it back. I never heard of that. I mean, I don't know if that's called reboot or not. I don't know what's behind that, but wow, I didn't think that show was that good to begin with.
I never watched it.
No, I saw a couple episodes. Allen, yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, people do like him.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. But
At least they used to back in the 90s.
But yeah, it's been a very strange, watching television today is a whole different experience. In fact, what I'm doing tomorrow, this is how overwhelming it is. Tomorrow, I am literally sitting down with my Netflix, and I am going to sit down with a pencil and paper, and I am going to write down every show that I have to watch so that I will have a list, because there's so many on the menu that you forget them.
Yeah, but then, okay, but then Netflix has a little thing where based on your watching habits, it'll suggest.
I understand that, but there are some shows that are not on that rep. The algorithm, hey, look, no algorithm can really understand an Elton Jim, okay?
I know. I also love the idea that we finally got you in the 21st century. You've got Netflix, you're all set up.
Oh, yeah. I've got Netflix.
But then you're making your list. You've got a pen and a piece of paper to make your list.
Well, no, I've gone through.
Change, Jim.
No, I've gone through and I've hit my picks, and I have all those there. There's quite a few in the queue there.
You can make a list. Yeah,
but my point is there's just so much. But they keep adding shows that I'm losing track. And I don't want to sit there. I haven't gone and sat there and gone through every possible show. So I'm just going to sit down to make sure that I have my list so that nothing falls by the wayside, because they are adding so many shows. But I must say, and thank you and Patrick, my godson, because I think both of you have successfully nudged me. It wasn't an easy nudge.
No.
But you nudged me into almost the 21st century. I'm at about 1999 yeah. right now.
Right.
I haven't gone completely into the 21st century, but at least
I haven't gone Y2K yet.
Yeah, right? But yeah, no, I'm still expecting my computer to explode next New Year's Eve. But yes. But at least I'm not in 1987. So
no,
I
will not be sorry.
No, I now realize that Reagan is not president. So. Well, thank you so much, Emily. Always fun to talk to you. And go back and watch your DVR'd Royal Wedding. I don't know what station you taped, but I hope you taped NBC because Al Roker.
Yes, like, always the Today Show.
Like a giddy.
Savannah and Hoda.
Yeah, well, he was squealing like a giddy.
Jumping up and down.
Schoolgirl.
Jumping up and down.
Who just yes. got asked to prom by the quarterback.
Yes.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
And that concludes episode 106 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted thanks to Jasmine Cooper, Minnie Cooper, my producer. And so, once again, I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is the only podcast that goes from the end of the web to your screen.